So we've been in Luke. We'll have title screen up for you here in a minute. Today what we'll do is do a little bit of entry, and then we'll read the whole chapter together. But I want to get your head around some things. The title of the message is Temple at 12. Temple at 12. Can I get somebody to hand these out? Debbie, come on up. Thanks, Deb. I don't think there's about 15 to 17 copies there or whatever. Whoever likes to take notes, if you don't, take them anyway. What I do know about note-taking, if you just sit there, and I know some of you are different, but if you just sit there, you'll only remember 3% of the time you spent here. If you're just sitting there, not taking notes, you've just used 100% of your time, but only 3% of it was of a value of depth. If you read and hear, you'll remember around 35%. But if you listen, read, and write, you'll capture about 85% of what you've been here. So your time will be at greater value. If the handout is not good for you, look in the back of your seat backs in front of you. And there's also a questionnaire form that can help you through and figure it out. Where we are here is we've just studied the swaddled Savior, right? A couple of weeks ago, we talked about what swaddling meant, why the shepherds were there. I'm not going to go in detail. You can go back and check it out. Bottom line, David was a shepherd. He was anointed king as shepherd at Bethlehem. This is where Christ is born, in a manger, swaddled child. Why does the swaddling matter? Because shepherds would swaddle the sacrificial lamb so it wouldn't get dirty. And so the angels call out to the shepherd, the least considered, and said, "You'll find a baby swaddled in a manger." That's kind of a unique point. Why would they? Every kid swaddled, you know? That one swaddled, and they spoke it to the shepherds. The shepherds, top of mind, would have known exactly what that meant. That's the one. And the shepherds were the first outside of his parents to see him. The shepherds were. You have the first evangelists were the shepherds, were the outcasts, were the ones that didn't talk a lot. They talk to their buddies, the sheep, and they say, "How are you doing?" And they say, "Fine." They had sheep. Okay, whatever. I say that, and I remind you of that now a third time, third week, is because he uses the least, the quieted, to speak the most volumes. I had a dear friend of mine who has gone home to heaven. His name is Jay Herrick, and Jay never said a word. I can't remember, was it his right ear that he was hard of hearing, or was it left ear? Was the right, left ear? That's right. So I'd come up and talk to him on the left side, and he'd go, He never really spoke much. Guy had humor from here to next year, but he didn't speak much. But I'm going to tell you something. When he spoke, people stopped talking. You quiet people, I'm talking to you quiet people, you quiet people need to speak up. Because y'all have still waters running very deep. And you have something to say. You're going to make social faux pas. Social cues may be off a little bit. It's okay. If you say something that seems like it wasn't funny to you, but somebody else thought it was funny, you just spoke a truth. And they're laughing not at you. They're laughing at something that may be uncomfortable for them to hear a very first time. Why am I even talking like this? Because a lot of quiet people won't speak because they think they're getting picked on. And it's like, no, you just need more experience in speaking. And what you have to say matters. This guy was funny. He made funny faces and all sorts of stuff. He photobombed one of my favorite pictures ever. It's Christmas time. We had a photo booth set up so you could take your own pictures. And he comes in and goes, and he has this look on his like, "Who are you?" And I'm just sitting there rolling. It wasn't much, but he was so quiet that his humor was even more so. Do you understand? So when you see these shepherds that are there that are expressing Jesus, they told other people, and other people wanted to know immediately. And what if they don't know? It doesn't matter. It's not up to you. It's up to the Holy Spirit to do the guiding. God will draw them. You just be that vehicle. So you quiet people, please speak. Your voice matters. Do you hear me? Who's my quiet people in here? Raise your hand. You know you won't raise your hand. You won't raise your hand. You just won't. That's all right. Because the other ones that are smiling, they're smiling because they know you won't raise their hand. And so by default, we know who you are, right? Well, y'all don't. I do. Now I can make a note. I want you to visualize this. It's Passover. Jesus is 12. They're going to this annual pilgrimage of remembrance, right? There, by Josephus, in his sixth book, ninth chapter, third verse, is estimating that there are circa 3 million people, 2.7 is what he said, 3 million people. That's about like the size of Denver Metro, not proper. So when you walk in, I want you to think about that. Y'all are all, as a pilgrimage, going to go make Wichita, Kansas become 3 million people. You're going to go up to Fort Collins, Colorado, and make it 3 million people. You see, they're going from small to big. And you got your kids with you. You know, some of you dress your kids in neon. Why? Because you got fence breakers. You don't know what a fence breaker is? That's a cow that's always breaking the fence and gets out, and you're always having to go after them. They're little fence breakers. They'll run off. So you want to have them as bright yellow as you can find them, bright orange as you can find them, so you can see them, right? Let me ask you a question. What's that like if you lose them for 15 minutes, for an hour, for a day, for 2 days, for 3 days, for 4 days? Where do you think your heart is? So we're in this historic time that happens annually. They're celebrating this love. The temple altars, the altars that are huge, that they sacrifice lamb, bleed out. I do that because a life was given that your sins would have been redeemed in that time. And you need to know, if you've ever seen a life strangled out, you have a whole other understanding of the importance of life and death. Have you ever seen a half-dead animal on the road that didn't get full killed? Yeah. Do you just drive by? Do you just drive by, or do you run over it? See, it's already been run over. It's half dead. And you drive by and you let it suffer. I'm going to go back over. And I'm going to get out one of my balloons and say, get well soon, on my little helium balloon. No. I mean, you know something? Why would you finish that life starting gone, right? Scary stuff. A life had to be given for your life. So your sins of that year would have come at the cost of a pair of doves if you didn't have much money, and then on up to a full-bred heifer if you had good coin, right? And the priests are there. Leviticus 4:35, it says the priest will make atonement for the person's sin, and that person will be forgiven. That's what it boils down to. This is the NLT, New Living Translation. 3 million attendees. Josephus claimed that there was 256,000 lambs sacrificed, about 1,000 priests, and they're doing it in a day. That's about 250 critters each. I don't know how fast Brent could be playing a guitar, but he's chopping up some stuff for your sins, pulling the fat out. You know they got assistants to burn the fat off, right? Because that's the offering, the fat, the excess, right? The lean is not. You think his arms are going to be sore at the end of the day? Heck yeah. I remember my pastor, Tom Stipe, thank God he's home. He was talking about being with Chuck Smith in the days when they started the Calvary Chapel movement, when there were two, maybe three churches, not 18,000, 20,000, 25,000 that are happening now, probably more. And they were baptizing 5,000 people a day. And he said his arm and his shoulder would take him weeks to come back from baptizing so many people. This is what was happening there. Blood everywhere. Can you imagine going home at night? Honey, give me a hug. She's like, no, get off me. Right? Covered in entrails and whatnot. You guys know when you fast. Have you guys that keep fasting as part of your regimen, that fasting is very much akin to this time. Why do we fast? To burn off the fat. It's the same type of deal. Your body is the temple. It's your time. These people are coming from 90 miles away, in this case, walking. you know, and they're coming to burn the fat for their sins. It's excess in a sense. Same with you when you're fasting. Same type of thing. So they're coming on down in Luke 2:41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Every year. This is an annual pilgrimage. Do you think they're excited to feel the relief of that sin being removed? Let me ask you, some of you guys that have been forgiven of your sin, do you remember the weight you carried before and the day you gave your life to the Lord, the weight came off? Some of you, it's been so long, you've forgotten. Pastor Brent one time was wearing rocks in a backpack, myself included. Nobody asked to take his backpack off or asked anything. It was a quiet pilgrimage, but it was also a lesson in we serve one another, right? You take that backpack off after carrying it all day or whatever period of time he was carrying it, you feel that weight lifted spiritually the same when you give your life to Christ. They're coming down. They're making this trek. Forgiveness is coming. Forgiveness is coming. Oh, I can finally come down and chop up a lamb and get rid of the fat so I can be forgiven my sins. And oh, hallelujah. You know what hallelujah means, right? Hallel is praise and then Yahweh. Hallelujah, praise Yahweh. Oh, this is so lifting. Can you imagine them coming back? That trip going down there is like, oh man, all that stuff I looked at, I talked about, I was mad at this one guy, I cheated this other guy, I yelled at my wife yelled at me and I got tempered. Whatever it may be, you're carrying this weight that you're bringing to get that and feel that and have that sense of redemption annually. You know, with us, it's by the moment. Because when you do get tempted, it's not a sin, it's a warning. It's a caution sign, it's yellow. When it goes to red, stop. And then if you sin, you sin. And your confession comes. And at that time, you can confess. You can confess the temptation, but you know, Jesus was tempted. It's just a warning sign of, hey, you're going down a wrong road. You know? When you get into that kind of life, you know what you need? You need a little Jesus in your life, right? Here, son, open up. Here, catch that. Good catch. You're growing taller. Forgiveness is coming. They're coming down for the Haggadah, which is the Hebrew telling of this Passover. They're coming down for that. They're coming down to be with their kinfolk and friends and family and people they met the year before if they can sort through and find them. Hey, we'll be over here where they hung the camel skin for next year for the tent. We'll meet you there third day of whatever. You know, you see the guys that were there last year. Their hearts are light weighted. Sins are atoned. In Exodus 12:13, the blood you have smeared on your doorpost will serve as a sign. I will pass over you. That blood was then, that blood is now. You just had communion representative thereof. Jesus is joining in this. He's 12 years old. He's of a man's age. When does a child become an adult? Anybody? Go. Huh? 18? 12. 12? Look at your medicines. What does your medicine say? 12 years or older, adult dose. Medical knows it. God revealed it. Hair is coming. Voices lowered. Right? Little girls go off to spinning off. Boys do too in their own way. They get, instead of nice little round children, they become oval. Those are called teenagers. Right? Till they get rounded again. 12 years old. When we see kids, we have a thing here that we call when we have them 13 plus, we want them in the sanctuary. Why? Because afterwards, these teachers will sit with them and go over the message they heard here. Why do we want them in here on Sunday? So we don't want them off in high school land. We want them assimilated with the family from white hair to no hair to little bitty soft hair. 13 plus. 12, Jesus is here. Do you think he's looking to hang out with his cousins and bounce off the walls like kids do? Man, can wonder where we're going to get some Skittles this year in Jerusalem. Whatever the Skittles of the day would be. No, dude, he's about his daddy's business. That son of God, yeah, mom changed his little linen when he soiled him. Yeah, he ran around and stuck his finger in his nose and sucked his thumb and did all sorts of stuff that kids do because of the human experience of kinsman redeemership. Remember, he was made flesh to be a kinsman redeemer because that's the only way one could have been redeemed in Jewish tradition, to take that cup of judgment. If you want to expand on that later, we can. He's just not any kid. This kid is set aside. You don't think he's not just any kid? We know he's Son of God. Let's get some facts. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about, what was JTB's mom? Elizabeth? John the Baptist? Had a baby on board. Jesus' older cousin, John the Baptist. We call him JTB. I want to make some t-shirts. JTB. John the Baptist was here to go, hey, Jesus is coming. Look, when Mary comes up, she's just seated by the Holy Spirit. She walks in. John the Baptist is in Mama's tummy, Elizabeth's tummy. She hears the voice, knows the voice. John the Baptist jumps in her stomach and fills her with the Holy Spirit. Did John the Baptist have the Holy Spirit to send to her? No. Holy Spirit was omnipresent in that time. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit from seed till slit. Do you understand? That baby sensed that Jesus, infant, how big are you when you're 3 months in? How far are you in? 5 months. How big is your baby? Hold your fingers up. How big? It's about that big. So Jesus is, watch, it's that big, 5 months. Jesus is this big. This big bounced, filled with the Holy Spirit, such that Elizabeth has this incredible prayer. Go back and read it. This kid is set aside for an amazing work. And his focus is my Father's house. We have it 12. We have it 30-ish to 3. 33. And he's going to be in there multiple times. And you know when he went through and fashioned a... This is my Father's house. You've made it a den of thieves. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. Say it. House of prayer. You're the temple now. Your body, you human, listen, you human, you live in a house of prayer. Say it again. House of prayer. That's y'all. Go say, here. You say, I... Say it. Hold your finger up. Touch your chest. I, with me, am a house of prayer. I hop. Lights go on. Ding, ding, ding. Can you see? You're I hop. I am a house of prayer. Pretty cool, huh? That's what you are. And that's what this guy is. And you know he's seeing the wrongs because you know the essence of him. Pastor was sitting there praying about the nature of Christ, not just the name. The name is always the nature of who he is, the essence of who he is. Look at this. In Luke 135, the baby to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. Holy is this. Look, you got all this stuff together. It just means to be apart, separate from the rest, holy. Nothing more, nothing less. His stepdad, Joseph, was given divine authority to have trust over this child. You catch that? You remember Jesus had a stepdad, right? But Joseph was his dad. Yeah, that's how stepdad works. And I'm thankful that God chose him because he knew the character of the man. He knows the character of you, and it's more than you say it is or think it is. We're not saying, oh, happy, happy, we're all good all the time. Listen, he is good all the time. You operate in him. You follow suit. He has this charge over Jesus or Jesus. His presence, Jesus, is familiar but profound as well. It's just not any kid. He's nearing his full-on adulthood, engaging, listen, in the Haggadah, whatever, in the Passover telling. He's engaging in it. Bidi, bidi, bidi. That's all, folks. He is engaging in this experience. Because I'll tell you what, when the young men and the young women start engaging, you see it, you see the growth, and they're fearless. They're just fearless. And so are the old duffs, the old guys. I love seeing old guys. The only difference between a young guy and an old guy is tummy was used to be chest, wrinkles, hairs graying. The fervor is still there for most of them. I don't give old people a pass. You should know better. You should do better. You should work hard. You know how to work hard. In the sense of staying focused on Him, don't lose sight of Him. Do not lose sight of Christ for Christ's sake. That's not a cuss word. It's for the cause of Christ. His heart burns for his Father's house because it was the physical representation of being with God. It was the place where sins come to get resolved. Anytime you look at the tabernacle in the Old Testament and you look at the temple in the Old Testament and New Testament, you got to think me. I am the house of prayer. Do you understand? I look at you, listen now, I look at you and I see the face of God on each and every one of you. I see the nature of Christ through you. And I see you as the set aside bodies that reserve the space for the Holy Spirit when you're walking around. Act like it. Grow into that, thus growing up and stay growed up. In the whole time, enjoy yourself. Bro is coming up here, Jesus in Star Wars, baby. Do you think I care how he dresses? Yes or no? Yeah, kinda. But you know something? He matched. Does that help you, girls? He matched. You. But you know something? What I know about him, he prays to decide what is he going to wear for today that would attract somebody to him, that he can speak to him about God. And I don't know what the percentage, I would venture 30, 40% come to him thinking he needs salvation because he looks like he does. And he did need salvation, thus he does. And so how many times, Brent, you'll get people come up to you, do you know about Jesus? Well, yes, I do. You know, however he would say it. This guy's heart burned for the Lord. He's not there for kids' games. He's there, he's drawn to the place where God dwells as it was built out. Do you understand? We go to the place where God dwells. We don't have to go far. We're not having to make 90-mile trek. You get up in the morning, you get up in the temple. You brush your teeth in the morning, you're brushing temple teeth. And some of you need to make sure to brush your teeth in the morning. When you scrub your body, you're scrubbing temple body. Right? When you're putting things into your mind and in your eyes, you're putting them into the temple. You see all the earlier stuff with the tabernacle, they had the bronze and the silver and the gold and all this different stuff. And none of it was assembled together. It was made from scratch in the gold. And there was no assembly. It was all one piece. That's you. You're already put together. You see these little peanuts that are going around? I call kids peanuts because they're cute as little peanut, right? These little peanuts, they come born ready to go. The rest of them, they just got a shape and you got to put foam on them so they don't kill themselves. You know, they run into a wall or whatever they're going to do. The festival is ended. The lambs have been chopped. The priests go home tired, stinky, probably get rid of their clothes. I don't know. I wouldn't want mine around for next year. The smell alone. They don't have Tide Pods, right? Nothing to chew on. They're going home. Massive caravan. As many came are leaving after a time of celebration and partying, and not parties like you would do. Parties of joy of the Lord, because this is a religious pilgrimage, right? They're leaving this. Mom and Dad are assuming that Jesus is in the caravan. I don't know about y'all, but if I go to a Bronco game, I ain't assuming nothing about anybody that's in my tribe with me, adult, old, young, or indifferent. We had a church start up a few years back in a movie theater, and I'd see my grandsons walking out of, because each movie theater was a different children's ministry. And I'd see this little two-year-old, maybe three-year-old, you know how they walk with little bow legs because they got all that diaper there? You know, they're walking like this, and they come out of one and they come into the other, right? And I'm like, what in the heck is going on? I'd get furious. I'm going, why is that kid unattended? Same here on that grass. It's not a fun time. You get your kid taken from you and you don't know that you'll ever get them back? Ever? Let alone what happens to them? I'm sorry, but we raised the level with the security. We got cameras everywhere. When you go to the bathroom, don't worry, we don't have a camera there. Everywhere else has a camera, and there's a guy out back right now watching everything that goes on. There was a guy across the street that was shot. We got him on camera, and they put it to trial. And the guy that was shooting was charged, and they freed him because of that. We have cameras everywhere. We have eyes everywhere. Once the church service is over, those kids are on you. You got to watch your kids. We don't want them stolen and sold for $800 to be somebody's sex slave at this age and younger. To that age. That is the disgust of man. And he's not with them? I don't know about y'all, but mankind hadn't changed much since then to now. We've gotten worse. But they're still worse then, because in Rome they'd say, oh, you're a guest here? Do you want a woman? As to an adult. They would ask me, do you want a woman? No. Nope. Do you want a man? No. Do you want a boy? No. Do you want a girl? No. I got Mary Lou. I don't know what they'd have called her. It may have been Maria Luisa. They're Italian, right? That is the thing they're in. And I don't know what the numbers are, but slavery was like 30 to 50% in the Roman culture. You get that kid taken off and sold and gone. What was that thing where they wore the cross on their shirts and they went on the Crusades? The Crusades were an answer to the slavery what the Moors were doing. We would call them Ishmaelites today. But the Ishmaelites, the Moors, were going out. Any country, didn't matter, man, woman, child, if you breathed, you were a slave. And you see that all over Southern Europe and Northern Africa. Slavery is still high in Africa and the Middle East as much as it ever was today. And you don't know where your kid is? Look, let me tell you something. They're so feeling free from the sins that just happened, you've got to be cautious, not careful, just mindful that when you come away, like from a church service or a great time of worship or the women's tea, you know, whatever it may be, and you come away from that, you still got to keep your eyes on Jesus. They're so excited just to be moving on, and the trust is there. Oh, he'll be with the family. He'll be with the family. Oh, they're feeling good all day. Well, he's with the family. He's with the group. He's with the tribe. Nobody in our culture is going to hurt another in our culture. I don't know. How did slavery happens because one person of culture takes somebody else of weaker in that same culture and gives that over for somebody else for coin, power, plaudit, whatever. He's walking along behind, a day or two behind to their knowledge. They're happy. Sins are forgiven. Party. Wasn't that great? Did you hear that rocking tune? Or whatever it may have been. Did you see that? Man, my sins are... Hey, it was great to see Ishmael and Mashiach. It was so good to see him again. Yeah, it was great. Where's Jesus? Well, he'll be up here. And then by nightfall, day one of four, because that's the day of travel. There's three that he's been gone, so it's four total. But they only recognized three because they weren't thinking about him then. They weren't thinking about Jesus. They were focused on get home, get to party, the party's over, let's get going here. And they didn't put their mind on Christ. You catching this drift? The night happens. The fires happen. What happens? They're around the fire. Where's Jesus? I don't know. Where is he? Where's Jesus? How are you feeling? Moms, I'm talking to you, moms. How are you feeling right now? You don't know where your kid is, and it's dark 30. Now, when I grew up, dark meant it was time to come home. That ain't the way anymore, right? When I was a kid, My dad would whistle for us. He said, "Didn't you hear me?" I said, "Dad, I didn't hear you the first time." Liar. When it started to turn dark, or when the street lamps come home, that's when we go home. Because we lived in a safer time. There's no way I would do that today. Where's Jesus? Have you seen, where's Yeshua? Yeshua, where's Yeshua? Do you feel it, moms? Dad, you've been charged. Stepdad, you've been put charge over that. Are you starting to feel signs of failure? Or are you saying, "Oh, he'll be all right"? Because you know, men, sometimes we as a man culture don't want to own it. So we're like, "It'll be all right." No, dude, you're a man. You own what's going on in your home, period. It's not the woman's job. It's her job to come along beside you equally and be that voice of God to you. Are you listening, wives? Men, you own the outcome of that thing. You don't think he didn't feel, "Golly, where's Jesus? God gave me charge over him and he's not here right now." I'm feeling that. Man, when I saw the fury that came up when my grandsons were unattended, I'm going to tell you right now, I see that guy that, have you guys seen the guy that goes out to the playground and he's got the candy bar of the puppy and he films it and he brings the candy bar and the little kid goes, and he just, that age and younger, he just scoops them up and walks. Now he does that while the mom or the dad or the guardian is doing this. And when they get a sense of, oh, they get so lost in this, he walks away with their kid to return them later to bring that attention to them. This, you need to throw this thing as far as you can. Whenever you're around your kids, you need, listen to me, 100%, ain't nobody on social media that's more important than them kids with you at that time. And they're with you until they're knocked out sleep. And then you sit there and watch over them like this. In a lot of Indian tribes, they'll take a man when he's young. And one of his jobs is, and when he's young, they blindfold the kid and leaves him out all night in the weather so that he can get his manhood of being able to handle it on his own, blindfolded. And when the day, some kids, they don't make the day. So they got to go back and do it again sometime. And they already have the fear and the concern. And they come in that next day and they sit down and, and they're sitting there, eyes covered, freaking out. Not because they saw a cartoon, they lived a natural life. And they get up the next day and the dad would walk in. But see, you need to understand something. The dad never walked in because he never left. He sat there the whole time marking his children. I'm telling you, that guy right there, he felt that. He felt that. Now, if this is hurting you a little bit, I apologize. If you've lost a child because of inattention, I apologize to you on that. But what we're talking about is mom and dad didn't keep their eyes on Jesus right after a really good time. Are we clear? Don't you think Jesus is going through Mary's mind? The prophecy, where is he? I've lost God. Hearing the stuff of the angels, time gone past, the lady that was talking to him in Jerusalem when he was a baby, talking to the prophecy, I forgot her name, and Simeon, Anna was the other one, I think. Yeah. That protector is gone. That crowd scale of 3 million pilgrims that night. Do you think they got a headlamp or a flashlight at night? Do you think they slept that night? And then they get up the next day, day one of the sunlight, day one, right? Day one's already, now we're on day two. Sunlight, they can't find him. And they're working their way back through 3 million people on that road, maybe not 3 million on that specific road, but they're working their way looking at every single person. I remember before we had cell phones, Mary Lou worked late down south. It was probably about 45 minutes from where we lived. And she didn't call. And I was concerned. And I got on the highway and it's busy at night. And I'm driving down the road looking at each car to see if that's Mary Lou's car to make sure she's okay. And I get there, her car's not there. I get home, she made it home just fine. But that's not me. Because I got a protector mindset. And I got to make sure everything's right. Do you understand? That's just how that is. And I can understand, only they're walking. I was doing 70, probably 90, but to get down there. But they're looking at every single thing. Day two has come and gone. Do you think they slept on the night of day two? Yes, no? All day, having fun. Night falls, which is beginning the next day. Night falls, and now they're freaking. They don't sleep all night. They're going from tent to fire to tent to other, and making a game plan to me. Get up early the next day looking for that baby, day two. Getting up early the next day, day three. And when they finally find him on day four, where is he? He's at his daddy's house teaching. I'm about my father's business. Oh, when he said that to Joseph, daddy, stepdaddy, I'm here about my daddy's business. How do you think stepdaddy felt? I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, it put the priority in order. Yes, you have had charge, but I'm now here in this temple doing dad's work. And what was he doing? Teaching old dudes. And they quit questioning him because the information was just so coming and so telling. I'll tell you what, that would have been a horrid time. In Luke 2:46, it says, 3 days later, they finally discovered him. And in Luke 47, all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Listen, I know that's Jesus. Same Holy Spirit fills you. Same time spent with God comes out of you. It's the same. He's God. We're not taking away his revering. But I'm having you to understand that you and the Lord, Holy Spirit, his words and the actions that are around and the people, that all of this is you. No difference. Jesus is immersed in his Father's business, and you can be that way as well. You just have to choose this day who you serve. What do you think Jesus was doing? There's no words on it. Do you think he was worried about mom and dad? Nope. What teenager does, right? This ain't no normal teenager. He ain't worried about mom. Do you think he's worried about what he's going to eat or where he's going to sleep? He knows who he is. He knows who dad is. He knows this is dad's house. And when you're in dad's house, listen, when you're in dad's house, dad feeds you. It may come by the hands of mama. Dad feeds you. Do you understand? You come into my home a first time, it's your home. I know in Spanish we have this wonder, mi casa su casa, and I love that. Dude, this is the Lord's house. When you come into my home, it's daddy's house. It's not my house. ¿Cómo se dice God? I can. ¿Cómo? Yo? Dios? Dios casa es su casa. God's house is your house. My house does not belong to Mary and I. You guys that have come to our home and dined there or just showed up and whatever, it's your house because it's his house. And no, you can't have my favorite pillow. Coming back to this, Luke 19:46, look at this. My temple will be a house of prayer. That's where Jesus is. He's with dad. All that freaking out that happened up to that point, done. Oh, no. Because you know what mom's going to do? Hito, what are you doing? I don't know. She has to be Spanish in my version. Boy, what's wrong with you? Would be me, Southern guy. Son, are you off your rocker? Are you out of your ever-loving mind? I ought to knock the tar out of you. Because why am I mad at him? You're the one that didn't have your eyes on him. You're just taking it out on him in your heart. If it comes down your arm, left or right-handed, that's on you too. Luke 2:48, his parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, what? Why have you done this to us? Oh, wait a minute. Did y'all have a family huddle before you left And by the way, sister, why did you leave a 12-year-old child with 3 million some people? We're putting the onus on ourselves because we have a responsibility. Oh, God takes care of everything. He does, and He expects you to have a sword in your hand. Everybody take a deep breath through your nose. Blow it out your mouth. One more time, deep in your nose. If you didn't brush your teeth, blow it on your neighbor. In Luke 2:49, he said, and it's probably already up there, "But why did you need to search?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house?" Oh, dude, parental authority just got shifted. They were over here with trucking down the road over here, but where were you doing with your parenting? He was with Dad. Jesus at 12, Son of God, Son of Man, Savior to all, yet not yet, was setting the terms. Dude, you didn't have your eyes on me and you booked. Those 4 days, you own. God gets a lot of smackdown for our ineptness and inability, don't you think? He really does. Why did you do this? I say this before, I'll say it again. I love when people that do not believe that Jesus is the way, truth, and the life speak up, and they don't believe that Jesus is God, let alone that there is a God. But when something goes wrong, what do they want to know? I want to speak to the owner now. And they always point to God. Oh, that's an easy target. So why don't we talk about when things are you, which is pretty much all of it. Because, by the way, that sin that was being cast out was the rejection of a small g God. Do you understand? Selfishness, self-motivated. I'm not going to church. I'm not going to synagogue. I'm not hanging around with people like that. I'm not. No, you're a not head. You know me since the angels and the shepherds prophecy, it said in Luke 2:34, this child is destined for the cause of many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. And by the way, mama and daddy that day fell. Does it make them bad? No. They're still chosen of God to do the things God does. Look, this is about keeping your eye on something. What are we wanting to keep our eye on? Jesus. It's simple. Listen, it's simple. Keep your eyes on Christ, and this other stuff that fades will fade, and it should fade. You worry about way too many things. Their panic, listen to this, their panic, mom and dad, revealed a gap, not in knowing Him, but to not trust Him. They must have trusted Him enough to catch up with a group at 12 years old, I guess. But 4 days, one party, three, yikes. And when He gets there, what do they find Him doing? Being stable and consistent and doing the things the Lord would have Him do. Where did you think I'd be? You claim to know me, but do you trust me? Listen, there are some of you sitting in this room online in times to hear that you say you know Jesus. Yeah? Good. Does He know you? Good. Do you trust Him? No, I didn't mean like with your inevitable. That's not a bad one. But do you trust Him with your finances and your next job and your emotions and your mindset and what's coming down the pike? And to handle your, let me make it simple. Do you trust Him? Listen now. Do you trust Him to handle the structure within your day? Of the freedom of choices that you get to have. Because I'll tell you something, your scheduler, your debit card receipt will tell me where you are with the Lord many a time. So you dress up like a Star Wars silly body. That's what everybody else sees. You don't know that man's heart. And he's a goofball from the day is one. But even underneath that exterior of goofball, that man is solid in Jesus Christ. Do you understand? I don't know why you're the center of today. Listen, they drifted. Listen now, listen. They drifted. We were talking about the 4 days earlier. They drifted because they were looking for the safety and security of home, earthly home, right? The home that mattered, Jesus in the temple, as we wrap up. We do this too, don't we? Don't we? After a spiritual high, I'll tell you what, a lot of church members, I want to go see you on Monday. I want to go see you on Tuesday. Oh, let's go check you Saturday night, Friday night. Let's see some of your posts. It's not a guilt thing. It's a clean it up thing. After a spiritual high or a worship night, Thursday night's coming to pray for these women. We head to our destination, assuming, listen, we will assume that wherever we're going that Jesus is going to tag along and give thumbs up to all of it. Do you think he gives thumbs up to all of it? Me either. Proximity requires priority. Proximity requires priority. Jesus' focus on his Father's house was his life's mission to break captives free, but not from the confines of Rome, the confines of sin, self, and God-made, small g, God-makings. His name means Yahweh saves. Yahweh. Luke 2:50 says, they didn't understand what he meant when they responded. Even his parents did not understand him to the full. They didn't get the nature of Christ. They didn't get the bigger picture of Christ. And by the way, how do I get that bigger picture? Surrender to the Lord. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. Now watch, listen to his obedience, him honoring the fifth commandment. In Luke 2:51 and 52, they returned to Nazareth with him and was obedient to him. He returned. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all of the people. All of Mary's treasures she had in her ponderings. It says in Luke 2:19, she kept them all in her heart. Can you go to Luke, it should be down at the bottom, 2:42. We'll just read this whole thing and we're out. 2:42, and it'll take us to 2:41 to 52, I think, whatever it is. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. So you got all this dialogue in your head? Now we're reading it. After celebration over, they started home. Who's the they? Mom and Dad. Home to Nazareth. And look at the but. But means instead. Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first. He was either a trustworthy soul or they were too focused on getting home to the life of familiarity. Because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. You remember the panic? When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem for searching him hole there. They went to search him there. That's a big town. If it can hold 3 million people, big enough. And you know all those encampments around the town, please. 3 days later, it's actually four, they discovered him in the temple sitting among the religious, what? What was he doing? Being taught and teaching, right? Listening to them. Listen, young people, and young is not necessarily under 18, as you said earlier, listening to them. You need to listen to your elders. Elders, you need to listen to the kids. Kids know stuff too, because that Holy Spirit works through them through and through. And asking questions. Look, when a kid asks questions, if you don't have the answer, it's okay. Ask Holy Spirit, ask God, he'll give it to you. And by the way, if you don't have the answers, they'll just see you as human, not, oh. They'll just see you as, I don't know. Let's find out together. And they'll learn to reason together, right? Please. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Let me tell you something. You know how you read Scripture, and when you get the red letters, you know how you're like, whoa. I was reading out of a paper Bible, because a lot of times I get audio, and I just was sitting there in the yesterday reading these letters. And I just saw that, and I just started weeping, because just the power of his words written down eons of time, which eon is 1,000 years, eons of time to now, and it still hit me. Holy Spirit, thank you. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mama said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been friends. We've been freaking out, bro. Searching for you everywhere. And I guarantee you, everywhere means just that. But why did you need to search? Mom, Dad, chill out. I'm eating burritos with Nicodemus. Didn't you know that I must be that? Look, I can't reach it. I must be in my Father's house. Do you know you must be in your Father's house right now? That's the temple that's in you. But they didn't understand what he meant. They didn't understand the call that's on a life. Listen, they didn't understand a call on the life. Are you listening? Do you understand the call on your life? Please. Then he returned to Nazareth with them, obedient son, and was obedient to them. Calmed them is the way I see that. He brought calm to them by obeying. And by the way, even though he said I was in my Father's house, by him being obedient, do you see how he gave the hat over to them of earthly oversight? Just in this alone, in his actions. Your actions mean things. Look up. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. Everything she learned, she kept in. And cousin Luke, who wrote these things, if he talked to Mary, he would have got that was stored in her heart. You women, do y'all remember stuff, yes or no? Yeah, that lady over there? Yeah. We remember. Y'all are elephants of thinking, right? Y'all remember everything. Stored these things in her heart. Why? To equip her to be mindful of the things of the Lord and whatever else the reason. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all of the people. And as you put your name right in here, I'd hide it, but it writes it on my hands. So put your name here. My name is Dave. Dave grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all people. See, Paul tells us to live peaceably amongst all men in as much as it is up to me or in yourself. That don't mean throwing stones at them. So you understand what's going on? Yeah. Your call is to trust and return to him. Some of y'all haven't been trusting, let alone you've been walking untethered. Unhooked, you're like an astronaut without hooking to the mothership, right? Y'all need to be tethered up to the Lord and draw back to him. You've grown complacent with what you want to see. Please ask the Lord to take that complacency from you. Your destination is on Christ. You panic because your eyes are not on Jesus. That's not a scold. This is my version of encouragement. I get your calls. I'm okay with that. And you panic. And when you call me, what do I always tell you? What is Jesus showing you? What is the Holy Spirit showing you? And I got to tell you something. Y'all minister to me in that same call. Because you say, Scripture says X, Y, and Z. God is showing me X, Y, and Z. We drift when we prioritize comfort or work, or routines, or goals, or business. I didn't say you can't do that, but when you prioritize that, this is your relationship with God, and you put all this other stuff on top of it, You do it with it. Every bit we do with it. That four-day panic mirrors our fear when we feel absent of Him. And He's steadfast in waiting. By the way, can I tell you something? All they would have had to do, had they known or thought, all they had to do is like, Lord, would you show me where my kid is? You guys lose your keys. What's the first thing you do? Panic, where's my keys? No. No. ¿Dónde está my keys? No. What you do? ¿Dónde está aquí? So, no. What you do is you go before the Lord and say, Lord, where are my keys? Where's my kid? I put him in the bed last night. Mary Lou was making smoothies yesterday. She walks all over the house, but she didn't go to the basement, that lazy bum, to come look for me. So she calls me on the phone. She says, where are you? I said, I'm on the phone. And she says, are you in the car? And I said, yeah, I got burritos. You know, I didn't tell her where I was going. But she walked around and then she's not a lazy bum. She just used technology. Where are you at? I'm right here. I'm bringing you a burrito. Oh, that went over well. Me bringing mama burritos. She was worried about me before. Burritos. Burritos. Seek the Lord and bring burritos. You claim to know me, but you don't trust me, right? Our frantic searches run to others' distractions. You know, when we talk with people when they're helping other folks, we ask them, please don't wear whatever the other person is going through inside of you. Don't do that. If you're helping somebody else through, you may do that because you're empathetic and you're trying to understand them, but you don't need to go back into your world. You're there to help them onward. That's what our life is about, is helping others. So the questions are this. Are you trusting Jesus with His purpose fully in your life? I hope you can answer these. Write them down because they're on your paper. Where have you drifted, changing comfort, chasing after comfort instead of over devotion? Listen, return to Him in prayer. Return to Him in Scripture. Return to Him in worship. The last place you left Him, pick up from there. If you can't remember, just turn towards Him and you're good to go. You good? All right, we're going to pray, but before we do, I need two of you to tell me what God showed you. Look at your notes and read from your notes. What does God break and put up some tables? Go, just speak out. Don't wait for me. Carl.